Again, welcome to Eucharist on this Sunday night. For those of you who came in today, my name is Eric Holland. I'm the pastor here at Holden. For worship tonight, you'll need two things. An ELW, one of those red worship books. You'll also need one of those cute little bulletins. And if you didn't pick one of those up, there are, I imagine, still plenty left on the table by the door. You will need that tonight to follow along in the service. The order of service is printed there along with some notes about verses that the choir will sing and then verses that all of us will sing. Also note that on there the page numbers refer to the pages at the very front of the book, and the places where it says ELW number refer to the songs and hymns in the main part of that book as well. Ask someone nearby if that's confusing to you. I want to say a special welcome to those of you who came in today or any of you who are new worshiping with us, especially for a Eucharist service. I'll invite you at some point to take a look at the back inside cover of that red worship book, and there you'll find two things. You'll find first some words of welcome, an invitation to participate in the service and into the sharing of communion, Christ's feast at the table he sets for us this night. You'll also find there some words of explanation of how it is that we share in that meal here at Holden. I think you'll find it helpful to have looked at those, looked at that before you come up the line to receive communion tonight. Once again, welcome to all of you. We begin with a song as we gather together tonight. It's noted on that little order of worship. gathered in Jesus' name, we now turn toward the font to confess our sin and to hear the assurance of God's forgiveness. Blessed be God, who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in love. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor punish us according to our guilt, but looks upon us in compassion, forgives our sin, and heals our lives. Let us therefore confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Have mercy, O God.
Against you, you alone have we sinned. In your compassion, cleanse us from our sin and take away our guilt. Create in us a new heart and give us a steadfast spirit. Do not cast us away, but fill us with your Holy Spirit and restore your joy within us.
As tender as parent to child, so gentle is God with you. As high as heaven is above earth, so vast is God's love for you. As far as east is from west, so far God removes your sin from you, renewing your life through Jesus Christ. Blessed be God who crowns us with mercy and love.
Blessed be God forever.
With all the angels, we sing Gloria. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of the prophets, whose word cuts through the webs of power and holds the tyrant to account, be with all who raise their voice against oppression and misrule, who are imprisoned and abused for freedom's sake. Help us to stand and speak with them and witness to your kingdom now through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Amos. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, holding a plumb line. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from its land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor prophet's son, but I am a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go prophesy to my people Israel. Word of God, word of life.
Psalm 85. Lord, let us see your kindness. 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 Let us hear what our God proclaims. Peace to the people of God. Salvation is near to the ones who fear God. Lord, let us see your kindness. Lord, let us see your kindness. Kindness and truth, justice and peace, truth shall spring up as the water from the earth. Justice shall reign from the heaven. Lord, let us see your kindness. Lord, let us see your kindness. The Lord will come and you shall know his love. Justice shall walk in his path. The gift that he brings. Lord, let us see your kindness. Lord, let us see your kindness.
A reading from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that before God we should be holy and blameless in love. God destined us for adoption as children through Jesus Christ. This was God's good pleasure and will, to the praise of God's glorious grace, freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of God's grace lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of the divine will, according to God's good pleasure set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the divine counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope in Christ might live for the praise of God's glory. In Christ you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the zeal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance, toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of God's glory. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of the disciples preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to marry your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When Herod heard John, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" The mother replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately, she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. The soldier went and beheaded John in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at least tonight's scripture readings are good for this. They prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that anyone who thinks the Bible is boring hasn't read much of it. Does it get juicier than this? Kings, queens, marital scandals, court intrigues, even the head of a prophet served up on a platter. You can say all kinds of things about these writings we Christians call the scriptures, but not that they're boring. If you haven't taken much of a look before, try it. You won't believe the kinds of things you'll find written in this book we call the Holy Bible. The question is, though, what are we to do? What do we do with stories like this one? It's true, they're not boring. No one can accuse it of that. But what in the world does it mean? Well, we might be surprised here, too. Because even with some of these really strange stories, the Bible has a sneaky way of telling us the truth. Say, a truth like this one. That in a world where reputation and power are on the line, those who risk telling the truth also risk getting crushed or ending up like John. I know it's a gruesome thought, but isn't it the way the world works? For those who dare to speak the truth in this world, especially among those with power, reputations, or a way of life to protect, watch out. More than likely, it won't be very pretty. Perhaps you remember the details of the story. I'll just recap a few. King Herod had gone and married his brother's wife, you know, because kings do whatever kings want to do. Yet John, fiery prophet and teller of the truth that he was, John didn't think twice about saying, you can't do that, even if you are the king. And so the wheels of power were set in motion. We're told that Herod himself was conflicted. He seemed to have had some respect for, or maybe was it just fear of John because he was a holy man? Herodias, however, had a much more straightforward notion of what needed to be done. She wanted John silenced, his tongue stopped, his truth-telling finished, and so she schemed up a way to get her wish. Fred Niedner, who teaches Bible at Valparaiso and sometimes here at Holden, has a pretty unusual way of interpreting this little story. He reads it as one of the food stories in Mark's gospel, and he asks this little question: what could possibly be sweeter than the head of your chief critic on a platter? We think the story is gruesome, but really it's just about dessert. Remember, the scene does come at the end of a great sumptuous feast. The head of our chief critic on a platter is nothing but the sweet, sweet vindication that each and every one of us knows how to crave. And it doesn't matter if these critics speak the truth. In fact, that just makes it all the more infuriating, doesn't it? If we have within our means the power to shut up criticism of ourselves, to shut out uncomfortable truths, don't doubt the devious lengths to which we will go. Don't these stories from Scripture have sneaky ways of telling us the truth? This is what the world is like, and it's what our lives are like. We resist judgment and the truth. And there's nothing quite so full of relief, nothing quite so psychologically satisfying, maybe even delicious, as being able to silence those voices that convict us of wrong. Maybe we should just call it by its old theological name, self-justification. The world is like this. We work hard to keep certain truths at bay. Here's another example from Scripture. Recall the story of the prophet Amos, called by God to speak a word of truth to the people of Israel. It was a word of judgment against injustice and evil in the land. Amos saw the poor being trampled down, while at the same time he saw the rich lounging comfortably, well-fed and at ease, and Amos cried out against what he saw. In a vision, he was shown a plumb line, that tool carpenters use to show how crooked something is. Amos was given the vision that God was coming among the people with a plumb line and was going to refuse to let such crooked injustice stand. Amos took his message to Bethel, a central religious and political spot, and as you can imagine, that didn't go over very well. He wasn't silenced quite as dramatically as John, but he was told to get out. In consultation with the king, the priest Amaziah said, "Go away, prophesy elsewhere, for this is," and get this is "the king's sanctuary. It is a temple of the kingdom." Never mind that the word Bet-El means house of God. Here, as elsewhere, the powers that be want the prophet silenced. We want the prophet silenced. For we do not want to hear that there is injustice in our land or that somehow we have done wrong. We don't like the language of injustice or sin. We push it far away from our minds and our lives. Again, we want the truth of the prophet's silence. Here's putting it a little more concretely. We don't want to hear about Darfur or Guantanamo or Abu Ghraib or the plight of immigrants in our own land. We don't want to hear about the ways our lifestyles are eating away at the health of the planet. Deep down, even those of us who call ourselves liberals don't want to hear it. It's true that for some of us, there's guilty pleasure in hearing how bad America or American culture is. It gratifyingly helps us affirm how right we are and how wrong are all those masses out there. But that's just a liberal version of wanting our critics put to shame and of wanting for ourselves a taste of that most satisfying of desserts, sweet vindication. But that has nothing to do with being confronted by the truth. For truth allows no self-justification, no arrogance, no pride. Truth convicts us all. There is injustice in our land. There is thoughtlessness and cruelty in the choices each of us make in our own lives. Truth convicts us all. And even though we would silence the truth if we had a choice, did you notice how today's gospel reading was actually a story about how silencing the truth didn't work? The whole section about John's beheading is actually a backstory. It's thrown in to tell us how John died. But where we're at in Mark's gospel is actually the place where Herod had killed John a while back. And now what's happening is that Herod has heard reports of Jesus' disciples preaching. And somehow in that preaching about Jesus, Herod comes to be haunted by what he's done. The voice of the one whom he had silenced, whether reluctantly or not, he somehow hears again in Jesus. And even the king seems afraid. John, whom I beheaded, has been raised, says the king. Somehow in Jesus, the voice of this silenced one, this murdered prophet, is heard again. And perhaps this is one of the ways we are to think about Jesus, this crucified one whom we yet proclaim to be alive. In Jesus, all the murdered, the voiceless, the scorned, the oppressed, all those who with their very lives have cried out with the truth that the world has wanted to silence, in the crucified and risen one, they are given again a voice. In Jesus' suffering, their forgotten and silent stories are held fast. There is a kind of deep promise in that. And yet, like Herod, doesn't that notion also haunt and even terrify us? The voices of the murdered prophets throughout the ages, all those trampled down under our injustice, all those scorned and silenced throughout the world. If confronting Jesus means we must confront and hear these stories, isn't that so far beyond any kind of truth we could bear? But hear this. The one who comes, lifting up every murdered, tortured soul, the one who comes, holding every cry for justice within his own anguish on the cross, this one comes not in condemnation, not in vengeance, but with unending mercy. Peace be with you, is what the risen Christ says to the disciples who had deserted him. The book of Ephesians puts it this way, that what we have in Christ is redemption, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of God's grace lavished on us. The crucified one returns, having gathered into his own heart all those anguished cries, yet not to wreak vengeance or bring some cold-hearted justice, but to make peace. And at the last, to gather up all this broken, suffering world, us included, and hold it in unending mercy. Hear these words also from Ephesians. God has made known to us the mystery of the divine will, according to God's good pleasure set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in Christ, things in heaven and on earth, to gather up all things, the oppressors and the oppressed, the murderers and the prophets, the wealthy and the poor, and to make peace through perfect forgiveness and mercy. This is what it means that it is the crucified one who is risen. Friends, Jesus is risen and invites us all, sinners and saints, to a feast of lavish mercy. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.
us pray together. Lord Jesus, in you all time and distance, every season and generation is united as one with God forever. Thank you for making us your own beloved children, for making each of us part of your miracle, your mystery, and each of our days a part of your amazing eternal promise. Lord, in your love.
Hear our prayer.
Creator God, we offer thanksgiving for safe arrival of baby Ingrid Jane in the congregation House of All Sinners and Saints in Denver, and for all strong and healthy babies, as well as those needing a little special help for their mothers and families. Thank you for the bright, shining children of this community, their sturdy running legs, their songs and shrieks of delight, each one your dearest joy. Lord, in your love.
Amen.
Source of every blessing, we pray that you will bring healing to people who are ill or injured. Bring renewal, peace, and healing to Jean Sanderson, Mark Roa, and all those we name now aloud or in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Gentle Holy Spirit, we remember all the beloved who rest in your mercy, especially John, Stephen, Paul, his family, and many friends. For all your children living in grief and loneliness, hold us all in your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy. Prince of Peace, you made this world, and it is yours. And all its people are yours. Be present with love for all refugees and families who have lost their homes. Comfort especially the people of Afghanistan, Iraq, Palestine and Israel, Honduras and Pakistan. In your word, we will listen when you speak peace to your creation and trust that in you, righteousness and peace will kiss each other everywhere. Lord, in your mercy. God of ages, give us voices as bold as John and Amos when you call us to speak your gospel of love at home or wherever you send us. Lord, in your mercy. God, we are yours, and we trust you always. In Jesus' name,
amen.
The peace of the risen Christ be with you always. Share a sign of Christ's peace with each other.
Okay, yeah.
just a moment, the offering plates will be headed around, and know that here at Holden, everything that's collected at these Eucharist services is given away. There's a little bulletin on the back over there that outlines the places we'll be sending the summer's offerings to: Women's Heart, the Center for Women in Spokane, Global Health Ministries based out of Minneapolis, and also Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. So as that plate goes around, know it will all be given away, and we do invite you to give generously. We sing, "Come to the Table."
Thank you.
creation. All you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, our merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. For creating the heavens and the earth. We bless you for bringing Noah and his family through the waters of the flood, for freeing your people Israel from the bonds of slavery, and for sending your Son to be our freedom and our peace. We give you thanks for Jesus, who living among us healed the sick, fed the hungry, and with a love stronger than death, gave his life for all the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life-giving death and resurrection, we await your promised life, O God, for all this dying world. Breathe your Spirit on us and on this bread and cup. Carry us in your arms from death to life, that we may live as your chosen ones, clothed in the mercy and righteousness of Christ, through whom all honor and glory is yours, O God, with the Holy Spirit, both now and forever.
Amen. Gathered together around this table, let us pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
is 479, We Come to the Hungry Feast, hymn 479. The next hymn is 721, Goodness is Stronger Than Evil. We'll sing it continuously and sing in four parts, 721.
Thank you.
Hymn 638, Blessed Assurance, 638.
Life-giving God, you have fed us with heaven's perfect food, the very presence of your Son, Jesus Christ. Send us out now to be what we have received. By your grace, make us your presence in this, your beloved world, showing forth your justice and your love in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy God, we praise your name.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with mercy and grace. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Go in peace. Serve the living Lord.
Thanks be to God.